Brothers and sisters, online scams can happen to anyone. Today, we're going to go over a story where a 92-year-old woman loses her life savings in an online scam. And after the video, I'm going to explain an attempted scam on my own family. Brothers and sisters, this doesn't just happen to other people. It can happen to us too. Check this out.
Earlier this year, we shared a story about the growing epidemic of overseas online scammers robbing vulnerable Americans. We now have an update on the billions of dollars being taken. Jim Axelrod spoke with a woman whose elderly mother lost her life savings despite pleas, she says, for her bank to take action. Banks say they're limited in what they can do.
I'll never forget. There was a message on my phone.
Hello, I'm calling with Charles Schwab with the Financial Crimes Investigations Team.
This was 6 months ago. The message for Leslie came from Charles Schwab, where her mother had an investment account.
They just mentioned large transactions and wire transfers, and did I know what was taking place?
And you didn't?
No, I didn't.
Leslie, who asked we only use her first name, was discovering her mother was one of tens of thousands of Americans being scammed by criminals overseas this year.
Welcome back. My name is A.B. Ridgway. I'm the host of Financial Advisors, Say the Darndest Things in My Mom's Favorite Christian Financial Advisor. And today, brothers and sisters, it is getting horrible out there. The voice that you heard was of a lady talking about her mother and how Charles Schwab reached out to her because there were some suspicious transactions on her account. Now, before we continue with the video, I do want to bring up this one note. It's called a trusted contact person. So you may be asking, how did the banks know to contact the daughter? Did they look in the yellow phone book? Did they have her name somewhere? Most likely, she is listed as what they call a trusted contact person. If you don't have one on your account, you can go down to your local bank or you can go down to your local investment institute and ask them to put a trusted contact person on there. The person doesn't have access to your account. They can't withdraw. They can't write checks. They can't do any of that stuff. But if there is any suspicious activity or they're worried about the mental capacity of the account owner, they have the permission to reach out to you and say there's something wrong. They can't give you any details about the account, where they're at, the account numbers, the balances, nothing like that. But they can say there's some suspicious activity and I think you need to check on this account holder. This is a great way and just a great start to involve your family without giving them too much detail. But let's keep going.
These scammers pretended to be IT experts from the government who told her mom her computer had been hacked and convinced her to take money out of her account to buy gold, which they said was a safer investment.
I didn't talk to my family about it.
Especially insidious, the scammers told Leslie's mom, Ruth, to keep all of this secret.
Well, I wanted to tell them, but I thought that the government would punish me.
Brothers and sisters, what are the three steps we talk about on this show in order to take advantage of somebody? One, we talk about the temptation. Here, this was the fear that something was going to happen to her money, the fear that she was going to lose all of her investments. Two, the isolation. This is what we're discussing right now. She said, don't tell anybody. I need you by yourself. We don't need anyone involved other than the people who are scamming you because other people will see right through it. That is the isolation. And finally, it's the violation, which we know actually occurred. So the three steps are this, ladies and gentlemen, temptation, isolation, then the violation. Watch out for these three red flags. If you can actually look out for the first two, you can avoid the third. Let's keep going.
And I didn't want them to get into trouble, anybody that I told.
Leslie was a trusted contact on Schwab's paperwork, and the firm had her ask her mom about what was going on.
We said, where is the gold? Is it in your apartment? Is it in a safety deposit box? Where is the gold? And she wouldn't tell us.
Heartbreaking. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod joins us now. First, let's start with what Charles Schwab is saying.
So what they're telling us is they wouldn't do an interview, but they wanted to emphasize that it's very difficult when you get into the business of telling a client they can't do what they want to do with their own money.
Yes, brothers and sisters, there is a fine line between being a custodian and protecting assets and stopping individuals from doing what they want. Unfortunately, with the bank transactions, they do thousands and hundreds of thousands of transactions daily, and they can't monitor every single one and all the other nuances that are going on. So they try to have these rules of thumb when they're talking about large sums of money. People say, well, how can they move $40,000 or $60,000 and not be suspicious? I always use this example. When's the last time that you bought a house? Let's say your house is $500,000 and you're going to put the 20% down. You are going to move roughly $100,000 into the bank or into a check or some other type of institute. That's a lot of money to be moving around all of a sudden out of the bank. But if it's going to a mortgage company, it seems normal. We also seen a video where a scammer gave the wrong routing number to these individuals to take their money, even though that money was supposed to go to the mortgage company. So you see, the movement of money and the dollar amount is not really a good indicator if something is suspicious or not. So the banks are saying, yeah, we do want to speak up. We do want to say something because we do feel bad. Think about this. The bank wants to keep as much money in their hands as possible. They don't like to see $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 go out of the account week after week after week. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. The motivation of the bank is to keep as much money into the bank and actually collect more money, not put more money out or send money overseas or to other banks. So it's in the best interest of the client and the bank for them to stay there. So to think that the bank is somehow trying to stop you from your money, that could be kind of counterintuitive, right? They're on your side when it comes to moving money out. Now, as far as what you want to do with your money, that's your own business, but that's what the bank is trying to say. So brothers and sisters, when you're talking to your bank or when you're thinking about your bank, they're not trying to stop you from taking your money. But if you've ever worked inside the bank, you know, you get that all the time. Clients are so mad when they cash a check and they can only get maybe, you know, $200 out of that check until it clears. They're like, I deposited $5,000. Why do I only get $200? Well, because we don't know if the check is going to clear. You know, they trust you with the 200, but until that check clears, we don't know. They get all fired up. They get all angry. So brothers and sisters, when you're seeing videos like this and say, well, why didn't the banks do anything? They probably did. But I like the statement by Charles Schwab. I really do. I think it's appropriate that they don't have an interview because it shines way more light on this than what it needs to be. But always be cautious. Always have your financial five, right? Your financial advisor, your lawyer, your tax accountant, your power of attorney, and your executor.
So essentially they're saying, look, if you call us and you want to take your money out, you want to wire it to somebody, it's not our place to say, what's going on?
Well, they're saying that, let's say, for instance, they stop somebody from accessing their own money and they wanted to put it into a perfectly legit investment that would then bear a lot of return. Then who's on, if the customer comes in and says, you didn't let me make money I wanted to make.
Right.
They want government backing, Schwab and other large financial institutions. They want the government to say, no. You can step in and do this if you have reason to believe that some customer is at risk.
Okay, so let's talk about that. What are you learning in your investigation into the role of banks, and how is the government getting involved?
Well, Lindsay, at the top, you said we had done this investigation earlier this year. That had to do with romance scammers, and we looked at the dating platforms because that was the last stop between scammer and victim. This time it's the banks. They're really the last line of defense between scammer and victim. So while I lay out to you that some banks don't want to get too involved, there are other banks, we went to a credit union in Iowa, for instance, where their tellers are trained in how to discuss and interface with customers when they come in and suddenly their withdrawal pattern is different than what it has been. They're taking large sums when they usually haven't. They are trained to then not only ask them, but go into the file and see if there's a trusted contact. You call a family member and maybe say, hey, look, are you sure you want to do what you're telling us? And do you realize, trusted contact, that your father, mother, uncle, aunt is asking to take these large sums of money? They also have working relationships with the local police department. And sometimes somebody with a badge can make someone understand they're being scammed more than, say, a daughter or a son can.
Brothers and sisters, these are actually some good tips. It was a little questionable when you start talking about tellers telling trusted contact individuals that there are large sums of money coming out of the account. Technically, you cannot discuss the account details. Maybe this was just a little oversight, but I love the research that he's actually doing and that banks are actually trained because they are the last line of defense when it comes to some of these scams. Because once they get you isolated, you have no one to protect you. But ladies and gentlemen, I used to work at the bank for years, right? And I'm a little biased when it comes to the bank, but I'm also not naive either. I'm here thinking, let's say that they get the government backing, right? We all applaud, we all vote, they pass legislation. The government's going to back these banks to say, you know what? You can step in. You can protect people from themselves, right? Let's just say that. Now, I'm against a lot of government intervention. Let's just keep that thought in mind. I think the government needs to stay out of our business. I think they do a great job doing what they do. We need to do what we need to do. I always preach accountability, doing what we want to do, right? But can you see the banks abusing the system? Now, why would they abuse it? I'm going to tell you why. If they can delay you taking out your money by even a day or 2 days, that is interest that they get to accrue. Now you're like, well, what's 1 or 2 days? Well, 1 or 2 days on $1,000 at 0.05 or something like that is nothing, right? But 1 or 2 days of $11 billion or $11 trillion or whatever dollar amount that they're actually holding at these institutes is a lot more money for these banks. So it would be in their best interest to stop as many transactions as they can to hold it for 1 or 2 more days. You see how money works. And I think they can actually abuse this system. And I just don't want that to happen. But I did promise a story. And this is a true story. I was calling my mother, who I'm her favorite Christian financial advisor. And she told me someone from Charles Schwab kept calling her about a voting proxy, which is totally legitimate. Voting proxies are true. But she said that he kept asking for account information, which was a red flag. He started to discuss her and my dad's account. And she's like, wait, no. You're not supposed to be discussing other people's accounts. She knows about privacy policies. I'm just so proud of her at this point. And she's like, no, my son handles everything. So I own AB Ridgeway Wealth Management. Our custodian is Charles Schwab. And no transaction actually occurs on the accounts that I manage except through me. So I'm the one that's actually doing the transaction. So even if you make a request, it comes through me anyway. So I'm like, no, I didn't receive any request, or there's no voting proxies that you need or anything else like that. She said, that's what I kept telling them. I said, hey, you need to talk to my son. You need to talk to my son. He's the one that handles it. My son handles it. And they just kept calling her and calling her and calling her until they just finally gave up. And I was just so proud of her to say, like, wow, these scam videos that we actually do to prevent people from getting scammed helped my own mother. Can you believe it? No matter what, how many views I get, it doesn't really matter. You know, all the time that it took for me to be a financial advisor, open up my own firm, the education, the passing of the laws and the registrations and all that stuff is worth it, because I just saved my mother her life savings. So she didn't have to be one of these victims, but I can't take all the credit. She listened and she applied the knowledge where she said, this sounds weird. This is no way. This is how it works. And that's what happens when you listen to this show. We are trying to show you the things that are going to protect you. She's worked 20, 30 years of hard work, could have been gone over a phone call. And that's what I'm trying to protect you all from right now. So if you have friends and family that feel like, oh, these are just scam videos, this is just something on YouTube, this is real life, ladies and gentlemen. This is real life. Not only can they affect one life, they can affect your children and your children's children. It says in Proverbs, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. Well, you can't do that when you're buying gold from someone you just talked to over the phone. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm going to leave it right there. If you love videos like this, make sure you subscribe. Well, that's it for me. My name is AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.